Good morning. My name is Susie Romack, and I will be your hostess for today. And welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers this morning? Okay, we're all family. The events are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests that way. And we really encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way as well. So the information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend who has the app. Today is Thankful Thursday, and it's a day set aside to remind people just how thankful that we all are for them. Feel free to share your stories regarding this in the Victory Room. You're invited to join our separate men and women's calls, Men of Value Everywhere, and Walk It Out will be both held tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We have one online prayer request, and that's from JC. She's asking for prayer for her Auntie Jessie. Please call her Auntie Jessie's name out during prayer. She's planning their family reunion and is getting a lot of negative feedback from family members. Thanks, prayer warriors. The order of the call is as follows. Our scripture will be read by Juliet, our declaration by our wonderful Tanya. Our prayer warrior number one will be Ruth. Prayer warrior number two will be Sister Gloria. Prayer warrior number three will be E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Smith. And I'll repeat that. Scripture by Juliet. Declaration by Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Ruth. Prayer warrior number two, Sister Gloria. Prayer warrior number three, E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Smith. Please don't forget to mute your lines for the continuity of the call. You can use your standard mute button, or you can use star 6 on your phone. Everyone, it's been a pleasure being your hostess for today. I now pass the call, but before I do, be safe out there on the roads today, and I love you all, and God bless, as I pass the call. Juliet, if you're reading, we can't hear you. Are you there, Juliet? Is there anyone else that could pick up a scripture real quick and read it?
I'll pick up a scripture.
I have one.
Okay, whomever would like to. That would be awesome.
I can pick up one. Who's going to pick it up?
I said
okay, my lips.
You can.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. I, whom you have redeemed, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. That's Psalm 71, 23 through 24.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Ruth, for your willingness. You and Ms. Barbara Herr, both of you, thank you so much for your willingness to step in. And Susie, thank you for being our host this morning. And I didn't get a chance to hear who was actually greeting, but thank you as well. And again, good morning to each of you. This is my way of doing a sound check to make sure that I'm not muffled. I made an investment in some brand new headsets, so hopefully they are producing the sound that is desired. I want to do something. Again, thank you for being on the call this morning. I want to do something a little different this morning. Give you a little bit of history, and hopefully I'll be able to hook it up so that it makes sense. In 2008, Clint Eastwood directed a film starring Angelina Jolie titled Changeling. Some of you may or may not have seen the movie. It's a true. I don't know how this one got by me. Carl and I usually get a chance to go and see. I like Clint Eastwood as a director, but this one it got by me, and And I think I'm going to, I think we're going to go ahead and download it and watch it. But anyway, it's a true story. The true story is based off of events that occurred in 1928 when Southern California was booming. Agriculture and the movie industry had transformed this area into a lively metropolis. However, a string of child abductions and murders in the small town of Winedale changed the views of the city. A man named Gordon Stewart Northcott kidnapped, sexually abused, and murdered at least 3 and possibly as many 20 young boys. It's believed that he had the help of his mother and his Canadian nephew to commit these crimes. On March 10, 1928, Walter Collins disappeared. This 9-year-old boy was last seen around 5 p.m. by a neighbor at the corner of Pasadena Avenue and North Avenue 23 in Lincoln Heights, Los Angeles. His mother, Christine Collins, gave him some money to go see a movie at a nearby theater. His father was in Folsom State Prison for robbery. In August 1928, Illinois police picked up, obviously I'm fast-forwarding because I can't read you the whole article, but in 1928, Illinois police picked up a boy who told them his name was Arthur Kent. At first, he would say only that his father abandoned him, so they placed him with a temporary family. Eventually, he told them his real name was Walter Collins from Los Angeles and that he had been avoiding their questions to protect his father. Illinois police contacted California police, sent photographs of the boy, and later sent him to Los Angeles, California. The authorities contacted Christine Collins and showed her the photos of her quote-unquote son. She immediately said this was not her son. However, Captain J.J. Jones talked her into, quote, trying out, end quote, the boy for a while. I'm going to stop there because what I don't want to do is I don't want to give away the plot just in case you guys, or the full story, just in case you all decide to go and see the movie, or just in case you decide to rent it or download it, whatever, you decide to see the movie for yourselves. But in addition to that, I don't have the time this morning to go through all the details. I just wanted to give you enough information to make sense of where I'm going. Fast forward to 2008, People magazine obtained a 25-page narrative of the young boy who masqueraded as Walter Collins, fooling the police, fooling Walter's friends, and allegedly even fooling the family pet. It turned out that the masquerader's real name was Arthur J. Hutchins. What would make a 9-year-old boy do such a thing? You got to remember, this is 1928. Women didn't have a lot of they didn't have a lot of say so. They didn't have a lot of they had very few rights. They were still they didn't have a voice. That's the main thing that I want you to understand as I'm trying to paint it. They did not have a voice. So even though this well, let me go back to Walter first. So again, what would make him do such a thing? According to Arthur, who was posing as Walter, he began the masquerade primarily to get as far away as possible from his stepmother, Violet. He said in his 25-page narrative, "A person doesn't realize what a hell this world can be at the hands of a stepmother that doesn't love or want you." Hutchins referred to himself as a boy adventurer in this 25-page narrative that was obtained by People magazine. Now let's fast forward. We're going to go back and forth in time. Here's a mother who is distraught. She knows that someone has taken her child. Obviously, she's reported it to the authorities. The Los Angeles Police Department, even back in the 1920s, was notorious for having a horrible reputation. All types of corruption was going on. We didn't have the agency, the watchdog agencies in place that we do today. But things were notorious. And in addition to that, child abductions are nothing new. They've been happening for decades. But at the time, they find this young boy, and the police commissioner or the captain is so desperate to solve this case because he's getting heat from all kinds. He's getting heat from the commissioner. He's getting heat from all kinds of sources. Why can't you solve this crime? This is a crime about a kid. You ought to be able to solve. So to save face, he's desperate himself. He's desperate for some hope, trying to save his job. He's desperate to solve this case because he wants it to be over and done with. So he practically forces this. Just try it out and see. You don't know for certain. Well, a mother knows her kid, right? And she knew it wasn't him. And so without giving away too much of the story, she said she did try it out, and she said that it wasn't him, and so some horrible things happened to her as a result. Let's go back to, though, this young boy whose real name, I told you, is Arthur Hutchins. While I don't have all of the details about what was going on in his isolated environment back in Iowa where he had escaped, you have to imagine that this boy is pretty desperate for change, for him to risk leaving his hometown where he is familiar with some things, going all the way to California. Obviously, he had heard some things about California that made him think life has to be better there. I've got to get away. And so in desperation to find some hope, listen to me. He comes up with he learns enough information to concoct a story that he convinces police that are trained in investigate, that are trained in questioning people. He's got enough information to make this story stick that he gets a free ride from Iowa to California. He's in the home of a temporary family until they can actually convince Christine Collins to take him into her house. And there he is, and he believes that life is going to be different. I guess my question for you is, how, when you consider your life and you consider the change that you want to see in your life, how desperate are you for change? What things are you willing to do to achieve the change that you want? You know, people talk about change all the time, but truth be told, they don't really want to change. They want things to stay the same as a whole, but they don't want to change though. Like they don't want to give up the habit, whatever it is. And I'm not necessarily talking about drugs either. They don't want to give up their behaviors. They don't really want to give up their habits, those things that make them feel good. They just want the things to change. Like, I would love to be able, let me talk about me. I would love to be able to eat fried chicken, and I really, really like fried chicken. I think fried chicken and french fries, fried shrimp, those are my fried fish. Oh, my God, Ruth, fried fish. I really, really enjoy fried food. They're quick, you know. I love dessert. I would eat every day, if I could get away with it, I would eat Krispy Kreme donut glazed, warm glazed Krispy Kreme donuts and milk. They would be my dessert regularly, or cakes, all kinds. I would bake cookies. I would bake chocolate chip cookies, just a little bit of chocolate chip, though. Chocolate chip cookies with walnuts. I would bake that. I would, or either oatmeal raisin cookies with nuts. I would eat them all the time. But if I do that, I would put myself at risk physically. Not that I would just be fat, and I would be fat, but I would put myself at risk with regards to the cholesterol, that because we have a propensity for high cholesterol and diabetes in my family. And I don't know if you all will remember, but several years ago, I made a decision. I shared this on the call. I made a decision that I was going to keep my legs, and that I was going to keep my limbs, and that I was not going to die as a result of a heart attack, or have diabetes and all this other kind of stuff. I made a decision that I was going to die a ripe old age, and that I wasn't going to die because of sickness. And when I told my dad that, he chuckled. Well, I made a decision, and I believe that God is going to honor my decision, but there is some work, W-O-R-K. There is some work involved. In order for me to change my family's history, health history, I can start it with me. I can start educating myself about what I should and should not do. I don't like to exercise. I absolutely do not. I was at the gym yesterday. I didn't really want to be there. I did not want to get up. But if I want to carry out, if I want to make my dream a reality, if I want to have hope for my future, I've got to be willing to do some things to change. I've got to be willing to do the work. Right? So the work for me is not that God needs my help, but God is not going to impose his will on me. So just because I say I don't want to die or I don't want to be sick as a result of these particular diseases, I can make a choice. I can do something about it. I can do my part and leave the rest to God. Or I can make the choice and believe naively that I'm just going to believe God, that I'm not going to die. So I'm not going to have a heart attack and high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and I'm going to eat all of these foods that I just, my comfort foods, potato chips, they fried too, Lay's potato chips or Kettle potato chips, right? I can make a choice. I can make a choice. And so my choice is to believe that I can make this thing happen. Right? Okay, so I was using myself as an example. So let's go broader. What things are you willing to change in order to be the change that you want to see happen? See, we got to be desperate, you guys. No more surface stuff. Well, I don't really know how to pray. Well, learn. If you've been on this call for, more than 30 days, you've had a chance to hear several, I would even say a full 2 weeks, you've had a chance to hear several people pray. You can model the person that, I won't name the people because I'll get in trouble because I'll forget somebody, but you can model those people. That whoever resonates with you, you can model them. You can start off by, well, where do I start? You got to start off with being willing to do something that's different. What would that be? The difference would be praying. Maybe not necessarily praying out loud here on Declare Victory, but start praying in your home where it's just you and God. Because just thinking about a thing is not going to make it a reality. Thinking about it helps with making it a reality, but you can't just think about it alone and then say that, okay, well, that's going to happen because all I got to do is think about it. No, faith without works, thinking without doing, without action, you got to have both. There's got to be some balance. Something happens in the spiritual world and something the spiritual realm, and something happens in the natural realm. So you do what you can do in the natural And then God imposes his super, and it becomes supernatural. Is it supernatural to begin to pray? Not necessarily, but you have, God won't, remember I said, God won't impose his will on you. He wants you to pray, but he's not going to make you pray. Well, Tanya, okay, I get it, so I'll start to do that. Or, Tanya, that's not my issue. Maybe my issue is studying the Word of God. Well, what you would need to do is you got to start. Where do I start? Start with a topic that is impacting your life right now. Maybe you're not experiencing the peace that you want. Start with studying about peace. How do I do that? Go to Google, put in the word Bible scriptures on peace or something like that, and it'll pop. You'll get a search result, and start to study those scriptures on peace. How do I study? Get a dictionary, even if it's an online dictionary, and get a Bible, even if it's an online Bible, and you read the word. You read the scripture, that the verse that it pulls up for peace. And then what you do is that you meditate on it. How do I meditate? Chew on it. How do I chew on it? You think about it over and over and over. Those words that pop up that are not familiar to you, or that you don't really understand, or you don't use it on a regular basis, get the dictionary and define that word. And then go back to the scripture text and read it again. Now read it with the understanding, with the definition that you have, right? Or maybe you know what the word change is, but how about looking up the word change? You think you know what the word hope means. How about looking up the word hope to see what the Bible, what the regular dictionary says, and then look up in the Bible dictionary. You can find the Bible dictionary on YouVersion. It's a Bible app, right? So then you take the secular definition of hope, and you take the biblical definition of hope, because now what you can do is search for the word hope in the Bible application as well. And then you begin to meditate and ask God to help you. Okay, that's just two examples, how to pray, how to read the Word of God. But maybe you have some other things that you need to change in your life. Maybe it's your finances. You got to create a plan. Ask some people to hold you accountable. Ask some people who are experts at what it is that you want. Maybe you don't know how to cook really well, but you want to perfect your cooking. Inbox Ruth. And maybe Ruth can give you some very, very fundamental things. Or look on YouTube. Look on Facebook. They have recipes for some of anything. Go on Pinterest. The point is that you can't expect change and stay the same. You've got to be willing to do some work. I'm going to share this last little thing with you, and then Ruth, you can get ready. I was at a point in my life where I was desperate for change. I needed some things to happen. This is me in my saved, sanctified self. There was a spiritual battle that I had encountered. And in my mind, the thing was so huge that I could not see my way past. I could not see a way out. And I knew that I needed to see this thing through spiritual eyes. But the thing was so big. It was such a huge mountain that I did not even have the courage to say, be gone. I did not have the courage to say to the mountain, you got to go. I had to figure out a way to make this happen in bits and pieces, enough for me to be able to take a step forward. And I'll never forget, I had heard that somebody had given me, I had gone to Bishop Macklin's church in Hayward for one of his state meetings, and Crystal Rucker was there. I'd never heard her. I'd never seen her before. I don't remember if I'd heard her before, but I'd never seen her before live. And I got her CD, or either somebody gave it to me or whatever that night, because she had some for sale. And I remember she remade Tremaine Hawkins' song, Changed. That became my theme song. It's amazing that God gives me music, allows me to find music that gives me hope and gives me strength during a particular trying time. That song, Change, if you get a chance, just Google it, find it on YouTube. Blessed my soul so that I played it every single day. It became my music mantra. I played it over and over and over throughout the day. During the times when the thing felt so overwhelming, I would play it to drown my mind from, you can't be done. Why you? This is amazing. Why would they have done this? Or whatever the thoughts were, I played it over and over to cancel out the negative self-talk, or it wasn't the self-talk, it was the negative voices that were trying to overtake the peace that I was asking God to give me. And so I've overrun my time. Hopefully we'll be able to go a little bit deeper in the narrative, but I pray that this heart share has blessed you enough to want to stay on to the Love, Life, and Victory. So we could talk a little bit more about having the hope in the change that you desire. God bless you, Ruth. It's in your hands.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, thanking you, God, for another day. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for allowing us not to wake up in pain, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come collectively, Lord, and pray for those who are in need of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray for the young couple that lost their baby. And God, we pray for those that are sick and those that are asking for healing. God, we pray for those that are asking for wisdom and guidance. We pray for those that are asking for knowledge. Lord, we pray for those that are waiting on you, Lord, to do something in their lives, whether it be employment, Lord, a place to stay, freedom of their mind, God. We are praying for those people that are desperately waiting on you, God. I pray for everyone on this call, Heavenly Father. I pray for their extended families, Lord. For each one of us on this call is waiting on you to do something in our lives. But God, as we wait and we praise your name for what you already done, for what you're getting ready to do, Lord. For you know, Lord, what we need. And we thank you, God. We thank you for bringing us through trials and tribulations, for Lord. We thought some situations we would just die right in the middle of those crises, Lord. But you was there all along. For you would not send us through trials and tribulations if you did not equip us to get through them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you are doing on today. And as we go out, Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to allow us to have the courage to just express your love and express who you are to those who need you, Lord, because people are watching us, Heavenly Father, and we want to be ready, Lord. So I ask you just to keep us on today. Use us, Lord, for your goodness. For, Lord, we know that he who is inside of us is greater than he who is in the world. Lord, we know that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, we ask you to bless our workplaces today. I ask you, Lord, to allow your presence to be in my department, Heavenly Father, where there's so much tension and just chaos, God. I ask you to allow your presence to be in that place before we even get there. Father, I just thank you for the word that we've heard this week, Lord, for we've heard that our lives, Lord, we must change. There's no way that we can just be comfortable in the places that we are now. We have to change. We've learned about trusting you and hope, and we learned on Monday from Dion, Lord, to learn how to stop stressing. You've already done enough for us, Lord. We can look back on each and every one of us on this call. God can look back and see what you've already done. So, God, we will not stress. God, we will trust you. We are relying on you. Lord, we are dependent on you, God, daily. And we not only praise you on today, we praise you for the rest of our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word is forever, Lord. We know, God, we trust your word. That's all that we have. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this day. God, I lift everyone on this line, and again, their extended families, their church homes, their leaders, their pastors, up in prayer on today, Heavenly Father. For only you know the day and the hour that we'll leave this place. So we praise you while we can. Lord, I personally thank you right now for, Lord, just changing my mind. And I ask you to change the minds of those who are troubled. I sincerely pray for our young people, God, for their giving up. I ask you, Lord, please just surround them, Lord, with your arms and just comfort their minds. Heavenly Father, even though they may look good on the outside, their minds are troubled. And, Lord, they're allowing their peers and people in their lives to just dictate how they feel. God, I pray for the young people today. God, sincerely, I just want to just, Lord, ask you, please, to touch them. From my daughter to everyone on this call, their children. Just bless the ground that they walk on, Heavenly Father. And I ask you, Lord, to allow us to speak Jesus and to speak life into their life, because they don't know if we don't teach them. I pray for every young black man, every young black boy on this earth right now, Lord, for one day, God, one day they will have unity. Father, I pray for those that are incarcerated from juvenile hall to the prisons that are anxiously waiting. I pray for those who are anxiously waiting for their children to come home, who are missing, who have ran away. I pray for those, Lord, that are just waiting. For, Lord, I know that there are people that just waiting patiently daily, waiting for that call for a job, waiting for that call. Oh, you got the place. God, I am praying desperately right now. But, God, I thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Lord, that gives me joy in my heart. Because I know, Lord, that you are going to make it happen. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for just giving us each other on this call, God, for placing us all together from all over the world. We are on this call 6 o'clock every morning, lifting your name up, God. We come eagerly, ready to pray and just gather together. We love each other, Lord. We're family. I thank you for this family, God. I thank you for Dion. I thank you for our heart, Lord. Bless our heart, God, right now. Bless our heart. God, I ask you to continue to give her what she needs to do what she needs to do. And I ask you to bless her vision, Heavenly Father. I thank you. I thank you for giving her the energy that she needs to keep on going. And I thank you, God, for the fight that we have in us. We're fighting right now for our children, God. We're fighting for our husbands. And I ask you, Lord, to bless the singles. Bless them with someone that you would see fit for them. I thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity this morning to pray with wonderful people on this line, God. I thank you for this opportunity, because I could be anywhere this morning, Lord. But I thank you for waking me up and allowing me to just share, God, and just pray with those on this call, Heavenly Father. Again, I ask you to bless each and every one of them as we go out to work in places. Allow us to spread your word. And when we walk in that place where we're going, allow us to walk in like we are children of God. And we will walk in like we're not defeated. We will not be distracted by people, God, that we would not be distracted by evil. And we would not be distracted by those who are trying to test our faith. We will hold on to faith and hope on today. It is serious right now, Lord. We are coming against some evil times and evil people. So we will show up today, Lord. I will show up today. I'm glad that you have changed our minds. And we will not walk in defeated. I will not walk in on a negative conversation this morning at work. And I, again, am praying somebody gets that call. You got the job. You got the place. You're healed. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We trust you. And we are glad that we are your child, and we are glad that you did not give up on us. We're glad, Lord, that we don't look like what we've been through this morning. God, we thank you, and we praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we come before you. Just thanking you, Father God, for another day, Lord God. Thanking you, Father God, that you are truly the God of the universe, Lord God, and that you are our Father. Father God, we ask you for forgiveness for things that we've done and things that we should have done, Lord God. We ask you for forgiveness for looking at things through our eyes and not through yours. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray, Lord God, for the family, that you would minister to us as individuals and as a unit, Lord God. You know what we stand in need of, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we thank you that it is done, Lord God, because you are our creator, Lord God. You know every hair on our head, Lord God. You know what we stand in need of, Lord God, and we're trusting you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray for our unsaved loved ones, Lord Jesus, that you would touch their hearts, Lord God, that you would enable them to know that there's nothing so great that you won't forgive, and that they will receive the promises that you have given us in your word as they repent and come before you. Father God, I pray for the marriages, those that are married, Lord God, those that are seeking to be married, Lord God. I pray for the children, Lord Jesus. Be with them. Guide them. Guide their footsteps, Lord God. Put a hedge of protection around them and let them feel your presence, Lord God. Let them know the power that's in your name and in their yielding to you. Lord God, I pray for co-workers that they would be on one accord at the jobs, and they would know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, I pray for our neighbors, Lord God, that you would bless them, Lord God. Neighbors that are friendly and neighbors that are not, that we still walk before them as we are your children, and that they would see you through us. I also pray for our enemies, Lord God. You said to bless those that curse you, that despitefully use you. And I thank you, Father God, for this awesome opportunity, Lord God, to come before you knowing that you already know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray for those that have prayer requests and that you would meet their needs, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the power that's present, because you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. We pray for those that are flood victims, and that you would give them a sense of hope, even though they have lost so many things, Lord God, that they still have you, Lord God, and that you will continue to bless and guide them as they seek to just feel that you're still there, Lord God. I can't imagine what they're experiencing. And yet I know that you said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God, those called according to your purpose. So we stand on that, Lord God. And I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity. You know what's on our hearts, Lord God. And we thank you that you're ministering to us now, in Jesus' name. I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank you and we glorify you now, God. And God, I thank you that there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place on the call today, Lord God. And I know that it's because of your presence, oh God. God, I thank you this morning for a right mind. I thank you for a right relationship, Lord God. I thank you that everything about you is right, Lord God. And I thank you that I'm a disciple, Lord God, and that I'm happy to be a follower of Christ today, Lord God. God, I think it is the best, or I know it is the best decision that I've ever made in my life, God. And I'm thankful this morning, Lord God. I think we're all thankful this morning. And we're grateful, Lord God, because of you, yeah, God. Because of you, God. And thank you, God, that as my mama would say, as my daddy would say, that I could feel the blood running warm in our veins, Lord God. So you woke us up to see another day, God. And we glorify in that, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you thought of not robbing me to touch us once more and again with your finger of love, Lord God. So, God, I come praying for all the prayer requests, Lord God, that have gone before us, Lord God, each and every one, house by house, person by person, member by member, thought by thought, Lord God. God, that you have the ability not only to know every hair on our head, but every thought that we think, Lord God, but even our heart's request, Lord God. Thank you for the boldness to come openly and come and speak out and say, I need prayer in this area and that area. And, God, we know that because we go to the Father, Lord God, that you would honor them, Lord God. We thank you for us being able to communicate with you, Lord God, and only you, Lord. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for we having the strength to pray, Lord God, as an intercessor, Lord God, and to be able to be a blessing to those that don't even have, sometimes have the strength or the mindset to be able to pray. I take it not lightly, Lord God, that we are declaring victory on this call right now, Lord, because sometimes our brothers and sisters just don't even have the energy, don't have the mindset to pray, Lord God. So I thank you that we can come humbly and boldly before you, Lord God. And I thank you that we can lift up and affirm our other brothers and our sisters. So we do that now, Lord God. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord God, for everyone, every person that's on the line, every man, every woman, every married couple, every single person, Lord God, all the children, Lord God. We ask that you would bless right now, Lord God, like a blanket, like a comforter, Lord God. Stretch your mighty hand over all of us, Lord God, because you and only you, Lord God, can see about our needs and supply all of our needs according to your riches, which is in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We ask that you would bless the extensive list of all the pastors, Lord God, all the covenant associate ministers, Lord God, all the evangelists, everybody that walks in their respective offices, Lord God. Bless every encourager, Lord God. Bless everyone with ministry of helps, Lord God. God, we just thank you, Lord God, that we recognize every gift and gifting that you have, Lord God, that are working, Lord God, in ministry, Lord God, for you. Every teacher, Lord God, every Sunday school teacher, every Bible teacher, Lord God, bless and keep us now, Lord God, is our prayer. God, we ask that you would bless city government, that you would bless everybody from the White House to the White Throne, Lord God. Bless everyone, Lord God. Bless our city governments, our mayors, our council persons, Lord God, and it's an election year coming up, oh God. God, we ask now that we know that you're in control, Lord God, but we thank you, Lord God, that somebody, Lord God, that the ones that are representing you, Lord God, that you would continue to put the right place, the right people in the right places, Lord God. We put all of our trust and hope and prayers in you, Lord God, knowing that it will be done, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord God, especially for the children, Lord God, and the young people, God. Continue to bless them, Father. Bless them in now, Lord God. Bless them and keep them. Bless their mindsets, Lord God. Bless our group of people at Jesse Bethel, Lord God, have a program called I Care, Lord God, to help push some of the young people they recognized yesterday, Lord God. Bless them, Lord, because it is the Christians that have to care for the kids and have to cover them and nurture them and help them, Lord God. So continue to bless and keep them, Lord God. Bless everyone in the leadership of this phone call, Lord God, of this prayer call, Lord God. Each and every one, Lord, you know us, Lord God, and you know our hearts, Lord. Lord, now we ask that you would continue to bless and keep us in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness
in the atmosphere. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary, God is here. God, we bless you on this morning, Lord God. God, I thank you for being who you are on today, God. But God, I also want to recognize the discernment in EK. God, I thank you, Lord God, for the sense of quietness, the sense of stillness, Lord God, that permeates across this call, God, with every prayer that has gone forth thus far, God. God, we sense your presence evermore in the name of Jesus. So, God, we come to you this morning, Lord God, to pour out our cares upon you, Lord God, because you said, God, that you care for us, Lord God. So, God, today we cast every weight of our burden upon you, Lord God, for those things, Lord God, that we feel that we can no longer carry, God. God, we give them over to you. God, our spouses, God, we yield them unto you on this morning, God. God, the lack, Father God, we yield it over to you on this morning. Our children, Lord God, we yield them over to you on this morning. Our jobs, Lord God, we yield them over to you this morning, Lord God. Our parents, Lord God, that are growing feeble, God, we yield them over to you on this morning, God. The bills that are piling up, God, we yield them over to you this morning, God. And we pray, Lord God, that we could take your yoke, God, because you said that your yoke is light, God. So today we make a yoke exchange, Father God. We give you, Father God, the yoke of heaviness, God, and we take your yoke of lightness on today, God. God, thank you for being there, Lord God. Thank you for meeting and exceeding every need, God. Thank you for opening doors, God, that no man could close, God. And we also thank you for shutting doors that we should have never opened in the first place, Lord God. God, thank you, Lord God, for being, Father God, the master healer, God, for every person that is in the hospital, Lord God, every person that is going through surgery, God, every person that is going through procedures, Lord God, not just on today, God, be there, Lord God. God, skillfully guide the surgeon's hand. Skillfully guide the nurses and the anesthesiologists, Lord God. Every person that would come into contact with your child, oh God, keep them, Father God, because they don't know how to be kept in that very moment, God. Orchestrate the heartbeats, Lord God. Orchestrate the blood flow, Lord God. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just do what you do, Father God. God, I thank you that you are the lawyer in the courtroom, God. When the judge is preparing to beat the gavel, God, you will yet reign supreme even in that, Lord God. God, when they are preparing to throw the book at us, Lord God, you will just give us the pages. God, we thank you on today, God, that you will reign supreme. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our hedge of protection, Lord God. And God, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you said that you would raise up a standard. God, thank you for raising the standard in our lives, God. Thank you for protecting us, God, from danger seen and unseen. Thank you, Lord God, for dispatching your angels to watch guard over us, God, and to keep us throughout the night, Lord God, and for not allowing hurt, harm, or danger to come nigh us, our dwelling places, God, or the vehicles that we travel in. God, we pray now in the name of Jesus against the spirit of homicide, God. God, against that spirit of killing, Lord God, that is running rampant across our freeways, Lord God. God, and we come now interceding for even the last victim's family, Lord God. God, we pray, Lord God, that you would gird them up on every side, Lord God, that you would give them, God, a sense of understanding, even in the midst of this tribulation and trial, Lord God. God, give them a sense of peace, Lord God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, God. God, the one that would guard their hearts and their minds, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord God, because you said that you would be the comforter, Lord God. God, you said that you would bottle up every tear, Lord God. So, God, thank you for doing that for us on today, God. God, as intercessors, God, we come before you,
Lord God, interceding for the nations on today, Lord God. God, we speak, Lord God, to the nations, Lord God, that don't allow your people, Father God, that proclaim who you are, Father God, to pray openly, Lord God, to call out your name openly, Lord God. So, God, we pray, Lord God, that things would begin to change, Lord God, that the sensitivities in those nations, God, would come to a halt, God. And, God, we thank you, Lord God, that there is no distance in prayer, Lord God, that wherever we send it, God, it shall go. God, just like a guided missile, Lord God. So, God, we go today to the nations, Lord God, of Islam, Lord God, to the nations, Lord God, of Africa, Lord God. God, over in China, Lord God. God, over in Tibet, Lord God. God, be there in Ghana, Lord God. Be there, Lord God, in Syria, Lord God. God, wherever your people need you, God, wherever somebody is whispering your name, God, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, God, because they can't get anything else out, God. God, we pray that you would dispatch your angels earnestly, Lord God, that you would send them, God, expeditiously, Lord God, to see about your children. God, and we thank you, Lord God, for the city of Houston on this morning, Lord God. God, we thank you that the rainfall has ceased. But God, I know you to be Baal Perazim, God. You are the restorer of the breach. So God, we ask that you would restore every broken wall, Lord God, that would hold back the water, Lord God, that you would instantaneously seal it, oh God, because you are God, and God, and you do great and mighty things, God. You are a miracle-working God, God, and there's nothing too hard for you, God. So, God, we pray, God, that you would do it in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, Lord God, for every pastor that is connected to this call, God. You said that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, Lord God, and seek my face and pray, then would you heal the land, God. Cause, God, a unity amongst the pastors, God, that are in every state, Lord God. Cause them to be connected in the spirit, oh God. Cause them to be connected, God, in the physical realm, God, so we can do the work of you, God, and that is to seek and save the lost, God. God, remind us of the mission that you called us to as a body of believers on today, God. God, where we can get out into the highways and the byways, God, and compel men, women, and children to come running and asking, what must they do to be saved? So, God, we love you on today. God, and we magnify you on today. We exalt you higher than even these situations and circumstances that we've prayed about, oh, God. God, we thank you that although heaven is your home, that earth is your footstool, Lord God. And God, you are able to do abundantly above all that we could dare ask or think. So God, as we take our phones off of mute, God, we want you to know that today we trust you with all that we have, God. Today, God, we will lean not into our own understanding, but in all thy ways, God, we will acknowledge you and you will direct our path, oh God. God, we want you to know, Lord God, that you are the light into our pathway, Lord God. God, thank you for illuminating every area that we walk in, Lord God. Those areas, God, where we need help, oh God. God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, God. God, that you would open up our hearts to receive your word, God. That you would open up our eyes, God, that we could see spiritually, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord God, for the changes that are taking place in and through our lives, Lord God. Not that they will only impact us, God, that they will impact our families, Lord God, that they would impact our communities, Lord God. God, that's impacting our nations, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can go deeper into your word, Lord God. God, you said all my getting understanding, oh God. Allow the word to jump off the pages and resonate with our spirits, oh God. God, allow us to read line upon line and precept upon precept, Lord God. God, and understand it clearly in the name of Jesus. God, we call out the name of your voices we have, Lord God. God, in a while, Lord God. God, I call out Ashley on today, God. I call out Patty on today, God. I call out Denise and Dan, oh God. God, we turn your people back to the fold, oh God. God, undergird them, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God. In every area of your life, Lord God, meet and exceed every need, oh God. God, you know all about them because you know them before you formed them in their mother's womb, God. Thank you for counting the hairs on their heads, God. Thank you.
thank you, Lord God, for meeting God and intervening, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for turning back the hand of the enemy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for covering us in your blood on today, God. Thank you, Lord God, for the blood covering Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God, that will keep us, oh God, the blood of Jesus, that will sustain us, oh God, the blood of Jesus, God, that we feed us, oh God, the blood of Jesus, oh God, that covers us. Thank you, Lord God, for the power, Lord God, that comes through the blood, oh God. God, we have the power to cast down demons, oh God. God, we have the power to tread on serpents, oh God. God, thank you for the power, Lord God, to do those things that do not involve our world. God, we honor the Lord God. 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 In the name of Jesus, God. God, we can turn the circulation around, God. God, we have the power to speak.
Hallelujah. Creating us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes, God. God, we thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
The prayers of the righteous availeth much power.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
God,
yes.
Thank you for the power that has been invested in us, God. Thank you for the power that permeates on this call on today, God. God, we pray now in the name of Jesus as we prepare to move to the next level in this
Hallelujah.
Call, God, that you, God,
thank
would
you,
be God in our lives, God. That you, Jesus, would be God over all things, God. God, destroy every yoke, oh God. Embrace every chain, God. Set your people free, Jesus. Set us free on today, God. Free, God. Free from opinions of others, oh God. God, free Jesus in the name of Jesus.
Thank
Give
you.
Us traveling grace and mercy to and from our destination, oh God. Keeping us, God, every step as we take. God, bless our footsteps, Lord God. God, enlarge our territories. God, everything that we lay our hands to, God, I decree and declare to be blessed on today, God.
God, I thank you that we have life and death in the power of the tongue. And today we choose to speak life, oh God. Thank you for dispatching your angels to watch guard over us. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Thank God and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. Well, as we prepare to go into the love, life, and victory portion of the call, are there any new callers that might have joined the call that didn't get a chance to say good morning?
Good morning. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning, Susie. It's Yolandra. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
Yolandra.
Any other victors would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Tiffany.
Who else was that?
Ravonda.
Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Ravonda.
Good morning, Ravonda. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, this
good
is
morning.
Claudia.
Beverly.
Who was that?
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Tanya. And
good morning,
who was that? And who was that?
Rena.
Good morning, Rena.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sinai J.
Good morning, Dondria.
Good morning, Dondria.
Good morning.
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you all.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, family. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Good morning,
family. It's Nisi.
Good morning, Nisi.
Good morning,
good morning, fellow warriors. It's Gail.
Good morning,
Gail. Chi-town.
Is there anyone else? Good morning, Renee.
Can you guys keep mommy in prayer? Hey, babe, mommy's in the hospital with her kidneys, so lift her up, please. Thank you.
All right, Renee. Will do. Is there anyone else? Okay, well, at this time then, family, before I turn the call over to Tanya, again, I want to say God bless you all and thank you for letting me be your hostess today. So I will now pass the call to Tanya.
Wonderful change.
Wonderful change.
If we were at a Kojic church right now and we had Marcus Dyson at the organ, sugar, all of us would be going in about right now. That song ministers to me every single time I hear it, even today. Even today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, Lord.
We serve the true and living God. That's who we serve. He's not a toy. He's not a character in a book that was written thousands of years ago. He is alive, and he will be the God that you allow him to be. Well, what do you mean by that? He'll be a little God, if that's all you're willing to give him. Or he'll be so humongous that words cannot even, you don't even have the vocabulary to describe who and what he is. William Murphy sings this song, "How can I describe a God that's indescribable? How can I talk about a love that's unexplainable?" That is the God that we serve. He's amazing, you all. He's amazing. And this absolutely is not a call to beat you over the head about and to try to convince you of God's amazing, amazingness, as Dee Dee would say. God is so big that he doesn't need to be convinced of anything. Not us convincing him, but us convincing others of his greatness. It's one of those things, either you is or you ain't. Either you believe or you don't. There's no middle ground. There isn't. And so I just want to encourage you all to keep going. I mean, we kind of joke about that, kind of use it playingly, but playingly, that's not really a phrase, but in a playful manner. But the tail end of keep going is to don't give up. Don't give up on you, man. Don't give up on you. Okay, I'll stop. Hallelujah. I feel God's presence this morning, you all. I feel his presence. Anybody have a God moment during the declaration or needed some clarity about something or just wanted to share your heart this morning?
Tan, this is
hey.
Bubbly. Oh, my God. It was like, ooh, if I don't hurry up and get inside this building, ooh. That song ministers not just to you, but it ministers to me, too. That wonderful change that only can come from God, that kind of change, that kind of love, that, ooh, my God. Yeah. I just thank God for you and the Holy Ghost. I'm just thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thanks to God for him using you like he did this morning. And then you just wrapped it all up with that song. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. That continual change. It's not just like he changed you one time. It's every day, daily, as you get in that walk and that word with him, change, a wonderful change that has come over me. Hallelujah. Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I bless you this morning.
Thank you,
Lord, for your Holy
Hallelujah.
Ghost. Thank you for your Spirit, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He can change. Only that he, if you just get out the way and let him do him in you, that kind of change. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going back on mute. I just bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you, Bubbly. Yes. Anybody else?
Hey, Tanya.
Hey,
I'm outside of my backyard, so I don't scream and wake up my house. But I thank you, God, because I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I'm going to be. When I think about who I used to be and how he set me free, that's that change. And I thank you, sister, for your heart. I thank you for reminding us that he could be a big God, a little God. And I also, I just see so much on this call, and I'm grateful right now that I woke up this morning in a sound mind and a right mind and a mind enough to intercede on the behalf of those who are at the edge of the ledge and are ready to jump because of the attacks, because of the cares of this world. But, oh, change is, oh, I thank you, Jesus, today, that I am here today, and I'm on the wall, I'm in the fight. I won't stop fighting. I won't give up. I'm going to keep going no matter what it look like because I'm not moved by what it look like, what it feel like, what I feel like, what's being said, what's being done. And to be around so many people this is real right now, y'all, because y'all know I'm going through some things. My nephew's girlfriend took her own life, and I tell you, to see this beautiful young 27-year-old woman, highly educated, about her business, but so broken inside that she gave up hope. She didn't know that she could change, that in 20 minutes God would change her feelings, but she's surrounded by people who said they loved her, but she didn't feel the love. Oh, my God, I'm just grateful, Tanya. I thank you that he's changing me even the more so. Every day I wake up, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for not having a job. Hallelujah, because God can change that. But I'm letting him be God. I'm not God. I'm just moving out the way and being still and trusting him to do what he said, because his promises cannot, he can't lie. He won't lie. He will do it. Thank you. I'm like bubbly. I'm going on mute because I got to get my shout, and I shout out by myself today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thought I heard a man. I'm not sure if I was hearing things. No.
Good morning, sister.
Okay. I heard two people. I heard Sister Julia, and I heard one other person.
Brother Eric.
Brother Eric. Okay. Brother Eric, you at work? You need to go now?
I just want to say, okay. you ain't fair. You're not fair. You know I'm at work, yet you're going to play this, and you're going to have the anointment come over here, and people look at me like I'm crazy, because I just want to shout to the world, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I won't take too long. I just wanted to say, I really wanted to say something to Brother Jeff, and I wanted to let everybody know that the change that I've seen in his life and his, you know, he just on my mind. Just wanted to say, I heard your sound, brother. Heard your sound this morning. I just wanted to tell you, man, the change that I've seen that has come over you. Your growth has inspired me. One thing my old pastor says, that when God comes into your life, there's got to be a change, and there's going to be some evidence. If you can't see the fruit, there's got to be some buzz. If there ain't no buds, there's got to be a tree. Even if there ain't no tree, there's got to be some roots. So there has to be a change, that when God comes in your life, you're not the same. You're not the same. And I just want to encourage everybody that the change is constant, that we don't never stop changing. We don't never stop growing in this walk. And if you just allow God and you just surrender and let God do what he has for you, do what he give what he has for you, then the change is beautiful. It ain't always easy, and sometimes it ain't always comfortable. But I can guarantee you, though, when the change comes, man, it's always beautiful in the end. Thank you. God bless.
Praise God. Amen. Sister Julia?
Yes, good morning, sister. That was an awesome declaration. That song brought tears from my eyes, because I know the Lord Jesus changed me from where I used to be in my past. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for playing that song this morning. I know that song woke up a lot of people this morning, but thank God. Thank you, because I have
thank
changed,
you.
And I'm still changing. Thank the
Praise
God.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Julia.
Was there anybody?
Hey, Diane. I think I heard Diane. Hold on. I heard Diane. Did I hear somebody else after Diane? Okay, go ahead, Diane.
I just want to tell you, that's one of my favorite songs that I play from time to time. And I got up this morning and I prayed before the call. And I said, I'm just going to lay back in the bed. And I was laying there. When the song started playing, I jumped straight up. I'm like, that song, you know, there's so many songs that I like that will just cut to the core of me, because God is doing, he's constantly doing something in my life, transforming me, bringing about a change, and I'm always willing to sit at his feet and learn. And I just want to say, what a timely decoration, and that should have touched everybody on this call this morning, because God is, if you've been on this call for a minute, God is doing something in your life that you just can't sit still with that song. You just can't sit still when the Word of God is changing you from the inside out. That's a song that reminds everybody of the change that God is doing in our life. Because I know He's doing something in my life. He's transforming me. He's changing me into something else. What God is doing in my life, I'm embracing it, no matter what the cost. Because I want to hear Him say, good and faithful servant. I thank you for that declaration. And I pray that everyone on this call today, that God, listen to God. Just be silent sometimes. Be willing to embrace silence, to hear Him say to you what He wants to do in your life, and embrace what He's doing in your life. Embrace the change, the transformation, because it's for your good. He's an intentional God. Everything's for your good. And I just want to say thank you, Tanya. I love you so much. I love this call. I love each and every one on this call. And I just want to say that God bless you, my sister. I love you so much. Thank you for that declaration.
Thank you, Diane.
I love and change.
Yes.
That's how I feel this morning. Because had it not been for God changing me,
and
my children would be a result of my mess that I lived in. Had God not changed my situation, my children would be a direct result of my mess. My marriage would be a mess. My finances would be a mess. And my relationship with God would be a mess. So I thank God for Him changing me. I thank God for Him ordering my steps. I thank God for the anointing of my life and the appointment and the assignment that He has given me because of the change that He has made in and through my life. God, I bless you on this morning. Yes, God.
The angels in heaven done sign my name. Oh, I know I've been changed.
Yes.
No, I've been changed. You know, see, there's one thing about it. When you know that you know that you know you know that you know you know you know you know, it don't matter what nobody say, baby. It doesn't matter. And look here, when your name is put in the book of life, no amount of whiteout, no devil in hell, no problem, no situation, no sickness, no illness, no drama can take your name out of that book. Our sins have been forgiven, our past erased through and by, listen to me, not because you joined a church. Don't matter how many small groups or Bible studies or Sunday schools or how many communion cups you drink, through and by the blood of Jesus. Through and by the blood of Jesus erased our sins. His crimson blood. It don't matter how much good work you do. It don't matter how long you pray, how many scriptures you memorize. All of that is cute. It's cute. It's cute. But it does nothing for you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, asked Him to forgive you. And once you make the change comes. The change did not come just because Jesus died on the cross. It brought about the change. It ushered in change into the world. And we are now under the time period, or some people would call it the dispensation of, or again, the era or the time period of grace.
For by grace are ye saved, not the amount of work that you do, not the amount of laws that you keep or rules that you keep or you obey or rituals that you go through. It has nothing to do with that. Most of the rituals and things that we do at church outside of communion and baptism and feet washing, which many churches have stopped doing altogether, those are the three ordinances of the church. Those are the three things that Jesus told us that we should do. Some people have even gotten away from Holy Communion. It's not sacred. It's almost as if they're going through a formality. But those things are important because it reminds us, the communion reminds us. We need to be reminded. Something that's out of sight is out of mind. So we're reminded. When we take the Holy Communion, we're reminded of the horrific, torturous death that Jesus endured. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life. I know you've heard this before. Well, tell you, what does that have to do with change? Without that, without the crucifixion, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Why? So that's the hope that we have. And see, what the step that we take is first establishing an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first step. You don't get to live a raggedy, any kind of life that you want to live. You don't. Not in having been bought with a price. He paid. He paid the debt. The debt was ours. We are now debt-free with regards to sin. And we are now right in the eyes of God. That's why your past has no right to condemn you because of the act. That one act that Jesus did, he erased all of it. It created a way for us to be in a position to ask God for the change that we desire. But we have to be willing to be involved. We have to be willing to be participants. If we are not willing, he won't force us. Anybody else? All right, I feel the spirit of teach on me. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Yolanda. Good morning.
Good morning, Yolanda.
I've been listening in for a while now. Sometimes I listen in and I, you know, don't announce myself. Sometimes I do. And sometimes, you know, I go back and forth with whether or not what I feel like sharing or what the calls do for me. I don't know, I just tend to have a habit of doubting or saying, oh, that's not that important or whatever, even though I know that it is, if not only to me. And so I just want to say this morning, first of all, thank you, Tanya, for your declaration this morning. You answered a lot of my prayers my questions in terms of when you talked about change and the young man, little boy being so desperate to create or, you know, conceive some other lifestyle in the hope or expectation of something different. And also, you talked about prayer, you know, and, you know, I'm also glad that you said that, you know, we can have the hallelujah prayers, we can have, you know, the scripture-filled prayers, we can do all that, right? And sometimes for me, I feel like my prayers aren't enough, you know? And in my heart, I know that's not true, you know? So it was really a blessing when you said if you want to learn how to pray or do this or do that. So to me, I started searching myself to see if that's what I do, you know, and in fact, to a degree, yes, I do that. So I was thankful that God, like, answered that for me through you, you know, and I know that Satan is, you know, battling for my spirit, you know, because I've overcome and I've changed my thought processes, my behaviors, in my devotion and seeking a greater relationship with God, all that is a change. And I remember when I was 5 years old, about 5 years old, I went to church with my mom. She's always, you know, she's a God-filled woman. And I used to go to New Hope Baptist Church right there on Market Street when I was a child. And Pastor Reverend McCullough was. And I thought in my little small mind that how special the congregation was, because we had this man who I thought in my mind was God. And I remember driving home with my mother, and I asked her, I said, Mama, is Pastor McCullough, is he God? She said, no, baby, God is everywhere. The pastor is just, and she went on to explain to me. But I knew in my mind that there was something greater, something larger than me, you know, and there was something that made everything transpire, you know. So I'm just grateful that God has chosen me, you know, and I'm also reminded that of my humility and how frail I am, because for me, there's nothing new under the sun that hasn't been said or done before, right? But I have to be reminded of it, because I have to be reminded that I'm doing the right thing. I have to be reminded that I am seeking. I have to be reminded that when I'm feeling this way, I need to do this. If I'm feeling that way, I need to do that. I need to pray. I need to whatever, because sometimes I forget, you know, and that's when I fall back into my own self. So I don't know if I made sense to anybody or anything, but that's what I need to share. So thank you, Tanya, for your declaration and for the song. And God bless everybody on the call.
God bless you, Yolandra. Thank you for sharing. It absolutely did make sense. I think that if we could just get it in our, if we could remember that as we, like you might decide today, I'm going to make some changes in my life, and you might start to, this is what I would suggest for anybody, that there is something in your life that you want to change. I would write out what it is that you want to see, or, you know, whatever that particular thing is, if it's a relationship or improving your relationship with God or whatever it is. I would write that out. What is it that you want to change? And then I would start to think about things that you, because you know, if you take the time to sit down, I'm talking about, when I say you, I'm talking about all of us on the call. We know the things that we need to do as a whole. We do. We may not know completely how to do it, but we know as a whole what we need to do. And so you write down what it is, but those steps. And the reason why I think that it's so important, I don't just think I know this, but my favorite book says, write the vision down. Write it down. And make it plain. Make it understandable to you. Write it down. Because when you write it down, you have something to go back to. Because if you just think about it, you know, other thoughts are going to come along, and you may forget that thing that you wanted to do, or those steps, you might forget it, right? So you write it down. You got something to look at. You're creating a plan, and you start with baby steps. Don't try to do everything all at one time. It will be overwhelming. You will. You might as you're going along and you're starting. Maybe you decide that you want to start journaling, and you might miss the first, you know. You might miss 4 days out of the seven. The voice inside of you will tell you, you might as well forget. You don't miss 4 days. No, but you keep going, because the first 30 days of starting, and it takes about 30 to 35 days, they say, experts say, to start a new habit. And so even after you've started the habit, life will happen. And life may, there might be some things in your life that happens, and it doesn't afford you to do whatever, you know, one of those steps. Don't give up. You know, you keep going. And before you know it, it will become a part of your life. I'm reminded of, and especially when there are outward changes that the desire really comes from God. That's Him nudging you to get back in line, and to get in line. This is where I want you to go. You're on the right track. I want you to stay there.
I'm reminded of Ruth when she first started calling in. She was pretty quiet, and then sometimes she would talk, and she was kind of whatever. And I'll never forget the first scripture that Ruth read. She was so nervous, and she had to stop. And she said this, "I got to get some water." She was just reading scripture. She was so nervous. And I remember hearing there was one particular morning that Ruth, she was just, I think it was a Saturday, she was going through some stuff. And we challenged her to go in an area in her house and to just give God a shout of praise. And she did. I think she said she went in her garage or whatever the case may be. And she did. And so I've had the privilege of watching God change Ruth. He's changed her sound. She's gone from being so nervous and so full of anxiety, just reading a simple scripture, that she would literally have to stop and drink a glass, drink some water. We didn't know this, but she confessed that anxiety out loud to praying heaven down this morning. Why did I say that? Because I wanted to show you a picture of change. If you've been on this call to hear even some of Ruth in her sharing, how her sound has changed. She is in, I don't have to ask her this, Ruth is in love with God. A spiritual change has taken place, and it has affected the natural Ruth. She's in love with God. When you are in love, it's evident. People can see it. They can feel it. You don't talk the same. That's change. You don't think the same. That's change. You don't want to even go to the same places you used to go. That's change. You may not even want to hang around the people because the conversation, it's not that you don't love the people. The conversation is different. They talk about way back in the day and you on a whole nother plane. That's evidence of change. There's some other evidence of change too. But so I'll stop there. Anybody else? I'll stop to give someone room.
Tanya, this is Ruth.
Yes.
As I fry fish this morning with tears in my eyes, first of all, I'm so grateful. I thank you for your kind words. I thank everybody on the call for encouraging me, because I was listening. I was listening to the prayers from day one. I remember I said, I can't get on the call because I listen. I watch T.D. Jakes at 6 o'clock. And I remember someone saying, well, you're just going to have to, tape it or whatever. And I was like, you know, so I didn't want to get on the call. So I tell you, I barely watch T.D. Jakes anymore, because I tell you this, you can't even compare this T.D. Jakes to this call, or this call to whichever way. You can't compare this call to T.D. Jakes, because I'm like, wow, 6 o'clock in the morning, I never got up at 6 o'clock. I was always running late, you know, getting up at 7 o'clock. I had to have my kids at school and go all the way to Oakland by 8 o'clock. So I'm grateful that I'm up. And when the worst times of my life, when my brother passed, I was up at 4 o'clock waiting on a call. Man, I got 2 hours before the call starts because I was going. I mean, I thought I would lose my mind. I couldn't sleep. So I thank you guys. But as I again fry fish this morning with tears in my eyes after listening to that song, and then Denise backed it up with her version. I mean, somebody else backed it up with another version. This is just, man, I don't even want to go to work today. I could just stay here and just keep on frying fish and just praise God all day. I'm grateful this morning because my distributor who I buy fish from, they've requested me to bring them fish this morning. So I'm grateful for that. And it was because of the Declare Victory event in Vallejo, the first event that Dion gave, when you guys raved over the fish. I didn't even know I could cook fish like that. I've been cooking, but y'all put it on the map. So I'm grateful that God has just allowed me to have a voice. You guys have allowed me to pray, from starting with scripture and pray. I'm so grateful this morning, y'all. I'm going to go in this morning smelling like fish. You know what? And I'm going to just kill all distractions coming forth. Pray for my department. But thank you for giving me this opportunity. There's nowhere else that nobody would have gave me the opportunity to pray. Really? I'm so grateful to you guys. And so I pray that you guys are blessed by the prayer, and I hope that I can just be stronger every week. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. We never would have known. Yes, go ahead. Who is that?
This is Imani. Good morning.
Hey, Imani.
We had a mini concert today. It was wonderful. We need to do that more often. A mini concert on Declare Victory. I just wanted to say thank you for your declaration. And for my change, I thank God every day for the change of, and the change to come of forgiveness. Because someone spoke, I don't know if it was Dion, but someone talked about how when you don't forgive, you can make yourself sick about worrying and forgiving. And can you imagine not being able to forgive? I came from a household of unforgiveness. And I just thank God that God has made a change in me, that I have a forgiving heart, that I'm not laid up sick. Because you can literally make yourself sick for, unforgiveness and not having love in your heart. So I thank God for the change to come, because he's working on me like a clay pot, molding me into the woman that he wants me to be. So for that, I'm so grateful for the change. Thank you. The change that I can pass on to my children, that is huge. That's a huge inheritance. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Imani, for sharing that. Anyone else? So here's a question for you. Oh, go ahead. Who was that?
This is Monique. Good morning.
Good morning, Monique.
Good morning. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, that was so awesome. I just want to say that I thank God for the change in my life. He's brought me to a place where my relationship has changed from servant to daughter. And I used to hear him say, you know, that's our father, that's our daddy. And God, he took me away this weekend on a retreat with 500 women, and I didn't know anybody. I just went up by myself. And it was so amazing, because up there, I was able to forgive. I didn't know what God had waiting on me, but he had something. And this lady ushered the Holy Spirit in, and I mean, I was able to forgive the person that killed my brother. And it's like God was just pulling it out, because I was so ready to. And she talked about how we can move from servant to daughter. And I didn't know that. But ever since I experienced that, my relationship with God has just changed so much that I'm his daughter. I don't have to be a servant. I don't have to work for it. It's already been bought. And I'm just so grateful, because hearing that song, it was just so in tune to what I'm feeling, and God just woke me up with that this morning. Like, you've been changed, and I'm walking in it, and I'm just so grateful, because I can just feel it. I can see it. I can just feel the change that people talk about and everybody want it. But when you feel it and you know it and you see it, it's like, thank you, Jesus. You changed my life. So I just have to say thank you. I couldn't sit here. I'm just, my knees buck. My body didn't even move.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for the change. It, hold on. Trust God. Don't give up. Believe him, because he'll do it. Get out the way. Just let him just have his way. So I thank you, and I bless everybody on the call. Have a good day. Thank you.
Monique, that was so profound. From servant to daughter, I'm going to have to write a declaration or teach her, because somebody's going to have to let me preach at their church. From servant to daughter, because when you think about that.
That's something to run down the street about.
Right, my there. God. My God. Monique, there is such a sound in your belly. When you open your mouth, you don't speak a lot, but when you do, you say some profound stuff, Mama. There is something profound in you. And I believe this change that you experienced this weekend when you went to that retreat is going to help you get to that place. I really believe it. This is me confirming the word that you already know. you have to know it. There is something in you and God is going to use that pain. It's evident he's going to use that pain for you to be able to bless other people. Primarily women, but I believe it will be other people. And so as you are going through the process of transition, and as you are laying off, lay aside every weight, casting those weights, I believe that you have what you need, but you just keep going. Don't allow the enemy to bring up the past, those past thoughts. When he does, drown that sound out with some music or with the word of God. Whatever, think on these things that are lovely, that are pure, that are just, that are of a good report. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. I think that's Philippians 3:8, something like that. But you can look it up. But he gives us a recipe, you guys. God gives us a recipe for success. He gives us a recipe on how to drown out the stinking thinking, like Joyce Myers would say. Somebody else probably says it, but that's where I've heard it. The way that you combat the stinking thinking is by changing the channel. Get your spiritual remote out and change the channel. Think about something completely different. I'll tell y'all in a minute, I will go get a pot and a pan. Or if I will go in my garage and I'll start hollering. If that whatever I need to do, now I won't do it in public. but whatever I need to do to keep myself focused, because I realize it's a spiritual battle, and the battlefield is in the mind. It's in the mind. That's where it starts. It can manifest to something in the natural, but it starts with a thought. That scripture is absolutely, excuse me, the one that I just talked to you or just quoted is absolutely, tongue is tied. It is Philippians 4:8. It's a great, if you start at 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, not through alcohol, not through drugs, not through the food of choice, not through sex, not through money, not through education. Through Jesus Christ. And then finally, my brother, and he goes on to say, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report, my God, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So this is a recipe for you. This is a recipe for you. God bless you. Oh, my God, I can't believe it is now 7:56 a.m. It's close to closing the call out. I'm encouraged this morning, and I hope that you are. So I want to, unless somebody else has something, I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts.
Dan, can I add just a little something, just a reminder?
Sure.
Good morning. Enjoy.
Good morning. Thank you.
You know, I want us to be real mindful that, you know what, it's going to be some days when we don't feel our faith, when we don't feel it, you know. And, you know, I'm often reminded of you telling us about baby steps, taking baby steps. And, you know, because sometimes we want to jump off the roof when the Lord wants us to jump off the curb. Just jump off the curb, you know. we're less likely to have any casualties. Just jump off the curb. But you know what we have, though? We have days when we rely so heavily on our emotions and our feelings that we have to be very careful, because that's not what our faith is based on. And so in our transitioning from becoming, how she said, from a servant to a daughter, we have to know what it is that we have and what we're entitled to. You know, there is some entitlement in coming into our faith and our faith being enlarged in Jesus. You know, that we have to be very careful. You're not to always rely on our feelings. That's the reason why you do got to go get a pot and pan. You know why? Because you got to take your mind off of how you're feeling right now. you know, because this ain't cool. That's why it's really good to, you know, get a praise in your heart, you know, sing a song or whatever, because it changes you. Just like when David was asked to come and play, it was because the mood needed to change. And so God gives us ways to change that. But our faith is what we have to protect. Guard your heart. You just quote, guard your hearts and mind. Guard our hearts and mind. You know, because it's important, because that's what the enemy wants to take from us. Because if he takes those things, then our faith has no hope behind it. It has no direction. But I just want to say I enjoyed you this morning. I had to kind of get off the phone, because when I get in the car with her doctor, that's her time that she really wants to talk to her mom. So I get on and off the phone sometimes because she's talking. And she had a game on yesterday, and they lost it. But it was a good game, you know. And for the first time in a while, she was kind of cool about losing. You know, they lost the game, but she played well. You know, and so that's how it is in life, that, you know what, sometimes we don't always get it, but play it as best you can.
Yeah.
Have a good morning.
There you go. Oh, my God. You may not win, but give it your best. Oh, that's good. That goes back to what little Josiah told his mommy, and I have adopted as a mantra. I win if I don't quit, and that translates into keep going. Wow. So I'd like to leave you with this. Oh, yes,
Okay, I'm in the gym. But remember that song that said, if when you be the best of your service.
Yes.
That's what Ravonda made me think of when she said that, because that's all we're supposed to do, give the best of our service.
Oh, my God. And say, well done. Yeah, I can't remember all the words, but I absolutely hear the melody in my mind right now. Thank you for that, Niecy, with your singing behind. Who gets up in the morning singing God is here with that?
Y'all such cozy kids. She got that for me.
Cozy kids, baby. We got COVID all down in our blood. You hear me? The blood. And Eric got it. EK got it too. Talking about the blood running warm in his veins. I said, you better go on here, EK.
Good morning.
Let me. Oh yes. Good morning. Sorry.
I'm speaking on a different earphone this morning. Is it an echo? Y'all, you guys can hear me clearly.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
You know, I thank God for consistent change in my life, because there's areas of my life where I can see consistency and behavioral changes, and there's been times when I've stumbled or in areas where I thought I was an overcomer in that area, that I didn't have an issue. And God just spoke to me and said, look, Jeff, I know it troubles you when you have to go to the altar regarding the same sin, the same issue over and over. I continue to try and give it to God. And it seems like I'm trying to change a specific behavior with under my own strength, and but God is letting me know that I am an overcomer, and that I have totally changed. I thank Brother Eric for his observation this morning and his share, because I don't want to. I heard on this line that we practice sinning less. You know, we don't sin as much as we used to, because we're in the process of being changed. And it's important for me not to beat myself up and just totally surrender and give it to God when I do stumble and I have to go back to the altar for that same sin that I thought that I had overcame. And consistent change is beautiful. And it's for some of us, it's a slow process, And it's been slow for me, but God is consistently changing me, and I'm sinning less today than I was, you know, a year ago when it comes to the same issue. So I just wanted to share that.
So I want to be, put your steel toes on, everybody. I believe that as believers, that we have a responsibility, you know, because what is sin? Sin is the breaking of or the transgression of God's law. I believe that's John 3:23, or it might be 1 John 3:23, but it is, that's the definition of, the biblical definition of sin. There is willful sin where we set out, you know, we've made the booty call, or we've made a decision that we're going to steal something, or we've made a decision that we're going to do something. We've thought about it and we've planned it out. There is the sin where, and sin is sin, I'm just talking about circumstances. Then there is the, you know, something happened, like somebody walked up on you and, you know, flashed and you went off on them and you beat them up or something like that. You know, that was wrong. That was morally wrong, and it was, you know, wrong as far as the law is concerned. It's assault, battery and assault or whatever. It wasn't your intention to do it, but, you know, you reacted. You gave in to self. You didn't listen to that inside voice that said, walk away or don't just be quiet. You overrode the Holy Spirit. You, that was a sin then, because you completely disobeyed what he told you to do. There are situations that we can put ourselves in. God has told us stay away from, I don't know, I'm going to make up something. I don't know. I can't even think of something to make up. But, like, he's told you, you specifically know that it is a weakness for you to do a specific thing. But you go around that in that particular area. You know, let me use this as an example. When I was recently divorced, because I didn't want to fall into sexual sin, there were certain things. First of all, I prayed and I asked God to keep me. You know, I'm a young woman. Keep me. I don't want to fall prey or victim to being set up, and I'm, you know, I end up committing fornication. I love you too much, God. But the role that I had to play was I made sure that I didn't read books or magazines that were romantic or were of a sexual nature. I made sure that I didn't watch television shows and movies that did not have that were not completely full of sex scenes and stuff that would trigger, because I'm human, you know, trigger reactions. I made sure that I wasn't in conversations that were engaged in talking about sex. Those were things that I could do. God wasn't going to do that for me. If I saw a couple walking down the street holding hands, or, you know, they were, you know, kissing or whatever, you know, I'd just make sure that I would look away, or I wouldn't really focus on them. Because, again, I didn't want to stir up that nature. So that's something that I could do to control my flesh. So the minute I go outside of that, I set up healthy boundaries for myself. The minute that I tempt myself by going outside of the healthy boundaries, now I've set myself up to sin, because I've completely gone out of the boundaries that I've set, or the boundaries that God set for me. So I'm literally, what I've done is I've set myself up to failure. Will we sin as believers? Yes, we will. We may absolutely make a mistake, but we should never be in a position where we, and I'm not saying this about Jeff or anybody else, we should never be in a position, because we got to be really careful. The enemy is so subtle, he'll take a statement that is innocent and he'll pervert it. We've got to be so careful that we don't set ourselves up to sin. But how? Like I just explained. You know you have a weakness to something, but you still go around it. You're setting yourself up to failure, and that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. And we should be at a point, especially as matured saints that are praying for and interceding for others and are talking strong, there's no reason that you should be setting yourself up
to fall to sin in a continuous manner. You got to do some. You may need to have a conversation with someone, a spiritual leader at your church, a mature leader at your church, and have an accountability partner where you all come up with a way where you will be accountable, but not leaning on, well, God know my heart. He don't expect you to stay in the same. He loves us. He absolutely does. But God does not expect us to fall over the same old thing continuously. I hope that helped someone. It was not said to condemn anybody. I wanted to make sure that the enemy doesn't take an innocent statement and pervert it and make people feel like it's okay for you to, you know, to sin. Because let me tell you this. God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. If you happen to sin at the very same time that God has come, he's coming back as a thief in the night, as a God in as a twinkling of an eye. And you know how quickly it is for you to blink your eye, right? That's how quickly God is coming back. We don't know when he's coming. If he happens, let's just say you've been doing good for the last 3 years, and he happens to come back at the time when you become weak to sin, you don't get a pass. You miss out. So the question becomes, do I really, really want that? Or you might die right at that very, you might have a heart attack and die at that very moment. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because this thing, for real, the scripture says it is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We don't just die and go to purgatory or just go to heaven. We go to sleep when we die, and then we're going to be judged. All of us on this call, for every idle word that was spoken, for every time you talked about somebody, every time you hated on somebody, every time you have everything that you've done, it's not like, oh, well, God knows my heart. He does. But we're going to be judged at some point, you guys. That's why I am trying to live a life. That goes for me, too. I don't get a pass. I live the life that I live, and I live it to the best of my ability because I know I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I do. When I repent and I ask God to forgive me, he forgives me at that moment, and he never brings it up again. It becomes my responsibility to make sure that I don't find myself in that same predicament over and over and over and over again. Because it makes a mockery out of the name of Jesus Christ. It says to the unbeliever, oh, that ain't nothing to that Jesus. I seen him down on the corner getting whatever. Or I seen her at the, you know, showing her tail or whatever it is that you were doing, and you're trying to live this holy and sanctified life. She went off on the boss. Okay, I'm going on and on and on. It's time for me to go. If y'all were still here listening, that means you wanted to listen. Love y'all.
Amen. Wonderful change. Have a wonderful day.
Praise God.
Love y'all.
Love y'all.